And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
That they want, but the money is not—it's not enough money to keep people going. $1,200 is,
yeah.
You know, the money that the government's throwing at the PPP program, that's just not enough. I'm not convinced it's getting to the barber with three chairs.
You know, we were talking about that. I was talking to Dan Andaloro, and you know, he's pretty good buddies with Rod here. Roger and Rod. Rod's the proprietor of the local barbershop here. And Rod's got to figure out what to do, right? I mean, he's going crazy. He wants to get back to work so badly.
Right.
But then what do you do? I mean, you know, any typical Saturday morning, his barbershop is packed, your elbow to elbow, with a bunch of people, you know?
Right.
Is he going to have to change the way he does business? I suppose he probably will. He might have to do appointment only before it's just drop in. God, it's just the ripple effects just go on and on and on.
Right, but those things can be overcome, okay? If you tell, okay, Rod, you can open, but, you know, you it's got to be social distancing. There's got to be the 6 feet, and Rod can figure that out. Rod can wear a mask. There's things that Rod can do. Give him the opportunity to do those things,
yep.
And that's what's not happening. Right now,
they're not going to figure it out. Yeah,
no, and I like the governor in Georgia.
He's putting his neck out, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He's going to open up health clubs and everything. It's like, wow, it's a little busy, I think.
Well, okay,
here we go. Here's Jim C.
You got Jim?
Yeah, that you, Jim?
It is.
All right, let me merge the call here. There we go. You there, Dave?
I'm there.
You there, Jim?
I am here.
How you doing, Jim?
How are you?
Good. Hey, the beard is looking good.
You drove by too fast to really see it.
I could see it while driving fast. That's a pretty positive sign.
Wow, I guess
so. You know, I told Kay when we were walking, because, you know, it's kind of a blind curve there where we saw you. So I said, okay, there's a car coming. Move over. And, Mike, I said, this car's coming in kind of hot, Kay. And turns out it was Dr. Jim coming by.
Hey, life is short. Got to get there fast.
Were you like a deer in the headlights? What? Was he coming at you?
Yeah, I said, Kay, get over.
Why were you standing behind her, Dave?
Oh, man.
You're right, I was at that point. You're absolutely right.
Well, you know, it struck me as rather unusual, knowing that you're such a chivalrous soul. You would be.
I just didn't have time to react. You drove up so fast. Well,
the only thing you could think, your instinct was to duck behind Kay. That's just, you know, that's all you could do.
So I could think.
No, he was going to catch her after I hit her.
Yeah, when she fell, I was going to be there to break her.
Right, he was going to reduce the impact of the fall.
Well, listeners, you're catching the Yacht Club Show in progress here this time. Got Rev D and Dr. Jim on the line, and how are you guys doing? Week, what is this, show number 5? I think it's part 5.
I don't know.
5 weeks now we've been doing this.
Five weeks of the virus series, huh?
Yeah, surviving the pandemic series.
It seems like 5 months.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is getting old. You know, I get up every morning and check the weather.
Yeah.
And I thought today, why bother? I'm not doing anything, you know, so it doesn't really make a difference what the weather is.
Yeah, you're not going to leave the house anyway, right?
No. But as long as I don't have to shovel it, it doesn't really matter what it is outside.
Exactly, exactly.
You know?
Yep. Did you guys... This is one of my favorite movies, Groundhog Day. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
It's a good movie.
It is. That's it, Jim. You're right.
I was coming down the stairs. I think it was Monday morning. And I was thinking, okay, what am I going to do today? And I said, why am I even asking that question? I get I have a bowl of cereal, and I look at the clock, and I say, is it too early for a nap?
But I do go out every day. I do find some mundane task to do, just to get out. And I just have to do something just for an hour, no matter what it is.
Putzing around the yard or what?
Well, putzing around the yard, or I'll do the shopping. What a little shopping we do. Of course, Kay started to do this. She's going crazy now, so she started to go out too. So I'm going to have to find something else, or I'll go to Home Depot and pick up something for a project. But I'm running out of projects. But I do try to get out for an hour every day just to do something, because you can only read so much. I don't know about you guys, but man, it's not like you're reading uplifting news all the time, uplifting stories, you know. Right.
And there's no sports. There's no sports to read about.
How the Lions are going to screw up the draft. You know, you can always find an article on that. Or, geez, it's too bad that we're not playing baseball. You can find that article, too. But, you know, Jim, with all the money there, I was thinking of you today, with all the money they're throwing around, they're gonna test modern monetary theory right before our very eyes.
Oh, yeah. I think modern monetary theory has been going on for a year, in my opinion, ever since Trump, instituted the tax cuts and they started blowing up the deficit. And it's just going to keep going and going. And nobody cares.
Can you guys elaborate a little bit on that again? I know we've talked about it, but my memory is short. So modern monetary theory, what's behind it?
Well, basically is that it says the federal government can never run out of money because they own the printing presses. So we could never go bankrupt. Now, the only concern that everyone has ever had about printing money is that it's supposed to lead to inflation.
Yeah, it devalues the dollar.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we have been printing money since Bush. And
since the war. Yeah.
It has no impact on inflation. So it supports the theory that says, we can never go broke, and the only possible downside that anybody ever brought up about it was that it was going to induce inflation, and that hasn't happened. So now no one talks about the deficit, or they give lip service to it, but nobody does anything about it. Now they're just going hog wild. Now they just passed the bill for $2 trillion and without batting an eye.
They did, didn't they? Yeah.
What was this one, 3.5? Isn't that what they're calling it?
I thought I saw $300 billion recently, but I don't know. There's so many add-ons to this, I can't keep track.
There isn't even an attempt to do any kind of, conservative accounting here. It's just unbelievable. So I just think it's been going on, it's been slowly but surely been going on since Bush got elected. He passed the prescription plan for retirees, which I'm all for, by the way. I think if there's any reason to embrace modern monetary theory, that's okay with me.
So Jim can get his prescriptions free.
Yeah.
That's right. But it's just so disorienting, though, when you try to put some framework around what a normal, successful, thriving economy would look like, and it's impossible because the rules don't even apply to any of it anymore, and no one cares.
No. And now with this COVID, they're just using that as that's the reason for everything. And we've got, admittedly, I don't want to downplay that financially people are suffering right now, okay? But the printing presses are on steroids now. And like Jim says, nobody cares. That this is, and I guarantee you there's going to be another phase of this coming out. I'm sure they're already talking about it to pump more money into the system. somehow. You know, I like how the states now are asking for money.
Yeah.
Because they, all right, McConnell, let them go bankrupt. I'm not opposed to them going bankrupt.
Right.
That's going to be the next Donnybrook in Washington.
Yeah.
Yep.
One Donnybrook after another. Oh, by the way, I was just looking on my iPhone. Trump apparently is not supporting the Georgia governor. Trump disagrees strongly with Georgia governor's plan to reopen some businesses.
Today.
No.
Today.
Yeah.
Today.
But in 2 weeks, if it works, boy, that guy was right. I told him he was right all along.
I told these governors they were, you know, they've got to do what's right for their... For their states.
Then he can't, you know, he can't strongly disagree if one of them says, I'm going to reopen some business, right? If Trump says it's on them, then he should shut his mouth.
No, he's not going to shut his mouth. What he's going to say is the opposite of what you say he just said. He's going to say, I strongly supported the states taking responsibility for own state. But didn't you disagree with the governor opening? Come on. That's fake news.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
No, I give Kemp credit for this.
The Georgia governor?
Yeah, Brian Kemp is who it is. And I give him credit. At some point, we're going to have to open the economy.
Yes.
There's too many people suffering from this. No matter how long you wait, it's never going to be perfect. If we wait until the virus is gone, that's what, 2 years?
Yeah,
everything will be decimated by then. So we're going to have to find a way to coexist with this virus. And I give him credit for doing this.
You're absolutely right. If the virus is here to stay, and it's a permanent part of our reality. I mean, things that are going to change, in my opinion, is like airlines. I mean, airlines are going to have to cut the number of passengers they can carry by about a third, and that means their fares will go up 50%, and that means fewer people will be traveling, fewer flights, fewer stewardesses, fewer mechanics, all this stuff. What about the food industry? Look at the stores and go to the supermarket shelves. It looks like Moscow. It's just unbelievable.
Dave and I were talking earlier before you got on. The local barbershop, he's got four chairs, and they're all right next to each other, and they're all crowded, and they got 10 people waiting, you know, elbow to elbow. That's all going to change. He's going to have to either expand physically his space or lay off a barber for social distancing, probably. I don't know. They're probably going to have to go by appointment only. Just everything's going to change. You know, restaurants, you said, are probably going to cut down on the number of occupants they can have at one time. That's going to cut down waiter and waitress jobs. It just goes on and on and on. And it's like Dave, you guys said, those jobs are going away and they're not coming back.
Yeah, and then even if you think of the restaurant model, those guys can't sell meals for what they're selling today. They're going to have to double their prices.
Yep.
Which means... People can't go.
Right.
So it's almost an entire industry is going to be wiped out from this.
It is. I'm wondering if the movie theaters will ever recover.
Right. Well, who can go to a movie theater? And, you know, when you talk about a barber, though, Mike, let's assume there's only one chair in a barber.
Mm-hmm.
What difference does it make? The physical intimacy you have with the barber, that's the same they have with every person. Are you going to test every
The barber's going to have to wear a shield and gloves and all that stuff. It's going to make his job
tougher. No matter
what
they wear, they're going to be touching you. They're going to be within 6 inches of you. And are they going to test every client that comes in to get the haircut?
You're going to get your temperature checked. I think that's about as good as they can do. But yeah, I think there's going to be temperature checks a lot of places. They might. Who knows? Or they'll slap a mask on you.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to give the barbershop the opportunity to figure it out so they can open up. No, I agree. You could open everything up today. Let's assume that the hospitals aren't overrun. right now, that it's at a manageable level. I think you can open things up like they're doing in Georgia, but there's going to have to be these other, I'll say, restrictions put in.
Yep.
Like everybody's wearing a mask.
Right.
Your barber is, he's wearing a mask, and maybe he's wearing gloves too. Now, one of the things I heard in the restaurants was kind of interesting, is that they're doing 30%, now this is a national average, 30% of the business that they did before with the carry out and delivery business.
Yeah. 30%.
So, yep. But what they're talking about is that they're figuring out how to do this, how to run it efficiently, and they can open up ghost kitchens. Ghost kitchen is, as I understand it, is a kitchen, and it's just a kitchen, and they prepare the restaurant's meals there and then deliver them. So let's say Big Boy, for instance,
okay,
is just has a ghost kitchen. They don't have a whole restaurant in, let's say, Bay City. They just have a ghost kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That they fix the stuff, and they've contracted with a Grubhub or somebody to deliver their stuff.
Uh-huh.
There's new businesses will come out of this.
Yeah.
Is what my point is.
Right.
People will find a way around all this. But I think we've got to open it up to give people the opportunity.
Yep.
To do it. And I think that the this recovery they're talking about, it may not be this big V recovery. It just could be a long trough till all these things that you're mentioning are figured out.
I think you're
able to start to build up again.
I think you're absolutely right. This is going to be a long, long process. It's not going to be like a light switch turns back on.
No, it's a total economic reset. And I think people, you sort of have to review your life and see how much of what used to be routine in your life is going to be there anymore. How about sports? What's going to happen with sports?
Well, people are finding out they can live without sports.
Not only that, but let's even decide you want to get back into it. Are you going to go to Lions Stadium and sit in somebody's lap to watch a ball game?
Oh, man, I know. Squeezed in like sardines? No, thank you.
Yeah, that's going to be ridiculous. So
that's two things. Unless they find a antiviral medicine that works, or the vaccine that works, there's no going back to where we were.
Right. Yeah.
What did I see?
That's going to take a while.
Yeah. What did I see? I think there's going to be no concerts this year. I think they're talking about 2021 before you'll have arena or type concerts. Probably. Mid-2021 at the earliest is what I'm guessing. Every form of entertainment is going to change. Every form of entertainment where you leave the house. It's never going to be the way it was.
Yep.
We'll get used to it.
We'll get used to a new normal, yeah. We'll appreciate getting together with smaller groups and not feel like something else has to entertain us. We'll appreciate each other's company that much more, I would think.
And we'll play, charades.
Yeah, back to charades. What was that other one? Pictionary. Or Trivial Pursuit.
Well, but when you can get to that point, when you can safely go to somebody's house, you'll be able to go to a movie theater, too. When are you going to feel comfortable going to somebody's house?
Well, that would happen sooner because I would think, your friends would say, look, probably not a good time for you to come over. I'm experiencing these symptoms. Everyone would have to be open to us. Or maybe we go to our friend's house, we wear a mask. But in a movie theater, you don't know.
Mike, I think that's it exactly.
That's more of a controllable situation. So if I'm, if I invite you guys over and before we even decide what to do about it, it's, I've been tested. I got the antibodies, and I don't have any symptoms. Or I've been tested, and I don't have the virus. There's whatever the screen is that you would feel comfortable with, that would be available to you.
Right.
But if you go into a movie theater, you don't know who you're sitting with.
Exactly. So I can see us getting together again, sitting around Dave's patio, way before we'll ever walk into a movie theater again.
That's true, but I think even on the patio, you're still going to be social distancing to a degree. I think that's going to be a way of life for the next couple of years.
Any concluding comments either of you might have? Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I got something. Mike, you asked a good question last week, mm-hmm. and it stuck with me because it so seldom happens.
Did I ask a good question?
How do you like that, huh?
Thank you, Jim.
Hey-o! Hey, you know, I was talking about Dickens, and I read a quote about something he said about electronics.
Yeah.
I said, that's a pretty good one. I wonder what electronics were around when Dickens was around.
Right.
And it turned out it was probably the telegraph he was referring to.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, he died in like 1870, and the telegraph was invented in like 1840 sometimes. So.
That makes sense. The context of the message would still make sense.
Yeah, though. Yeah. That was probably how people communicated through telegram and things like that. Yeah. So.
Well, thanks.
And old Charlie was probably thinking, what will they think of next?
Yeah, he said, I guess.
Well, thanks, Jim. Appreciate the update on that.
Yeah, in this pursuit of world philosophers, I thought I'd go back, and I thought, this is a very, very serious time for us. So I thought I would go back, and I'd see what that master of philosophy would have to say about, if anything, about this situation. I went to Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra.
Oh, he has a few that are, that I think are worth keeping in mind. So Yogi said, and maybe this is something that Gretchen might want to keep in mind, I don't want to make the wrong mistake.
He wants to make the right mistake, huh?
He wants to make the right mistake.
Okay. Good old Yogi. It is.
And this one is very, very true and prophetic, though. He said, the future ain't what it used to be.
I do recall that one.
He was right there.
This is extremely deep. That one's good, but this one is you've got to be humble when you're doing this. He said it's tough to make predictions, especially about the future.
He nailed it.
He did.
Yeah.
Yogi nailed it.
He nailed it.
Wow, I think his words are more prescient than Charles Dickens.
He's a good one. Here's a line I would love to hear a politician use. This is Yogi saying,
this is Yogi. Okay.
Listen up, because I have nothing to say, and I'm only going to say it once.
If only they would just say it once.
Right. Good stuff.
I got one for Mark Twain that I have to two for Mark Twain.
All right.
I don't know. I'm probably abusing your time here, Mikey. But
no. These are great. Let's have them.
All right. If you don't read a newspaper, you're uninformed. If you read a newspaper, you're misinformed.
True, like even today.
Even today. And finally, and I mean it this time. This is Mark Twain again. If voting made any difference, they wouldn't let you do it.
Wow. There's truth in all of this stuff, and it's kind of sobering.
it's kind of good to, you know, realize that people lived before us. They went through some hard times, and they managed to get through it and keep their sense of humor.
Yeah. Good message.
Very good. Good.
Excellent, Dr. Jim. Thank you. Dave, anything for us?
Yeah, I got a couple things, Killer. Of course, as we did the last couple of weeks, ask God to watch over the world and keep us all sane and safe and let us move on as quickly and as possible. On a good note, you guys probably read that Kim Jong-un is a little under the weather.
I did read that.
Right now.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
So he may be quiet. Like, we don't need any other things coming up in the world right now. So it may be good that, you know, he's under the weather right now.
Yeah.
So
One less thing to worry about.
And I would like to mention something. Jim was bringing up the great lines from people we don't really consider philosophers or anything, but as he pointed out, they're very good. But
yeah.
I've got one from Snoopy.
Snoopy, okay. From Peanuts?
Kind of, from Peanuts. Okay. That kind of hit me. And I think it helps me just kind of get through the day.
Okay.
It's, keep looking up. That's the secret of life.
Wow, from Snoopy, of all people.
From Snoopy.
Yeah, of all people.
Of all dogs.
Of all dogs. Well, actually, from the mind of Charles Schulz, but that's really cool. Repeat it, Dave. What was it again?
Keep looking up. That's the secret of life. That's what I got to do.
Yep.
That's what I do. That's what I got to tell myself. Just keep looking up.
Yep. That's right.
Except if a seagull's overhead.
That's true. That's true. And unless you're in a dog park, because you know that could be bad too.
Yeah, you better look down. Risk.
Yeah, put a little asterisk next to that. Then there's two reasons to maybe reconsider looking up.
In most instances,
there's always fine print, isn't there? There's always fine
there
print.
There's always. The exception that makes the rule.
That's right. Well, Judge, thanks again.
Okay, boys. Stay safe.
Yep. Stay safe.
Hey, have a good week.
If you can find a better podcast, listen to it.